for tapes, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Wednesday evening, December the 27th, 1995. Midwinter Family Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Should this tape for any reason be defective, please explain and return for replacement.
The Lord is good.
Amen. And His mercy endures forever.
All the time.
He's good all the time. You know, I'm going to share tonight on this preaching on bitterness. But if I may, before I go into it, I want to share a little bit about some end time spirits. We've heard tonight that the darkness is coming. And I believe that we need to start binding some of these end time forces. And I have been running into these demons. Some of you may not be interested in them. How many here tonight is really interested in hearing something about fighting the devil? Yeah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, that's mostly what I teach. I do teach other things, but and Brother Glenn didn't tell me I had to teach deliverance tonight or do deliverance, but I really thought we would when we got through. But I went back to the trailer after dinner tonight, and I was resting, really trying to get ready for tonight, and the Lord began to talk to me about sharing some of this. And I thought, well, Lord, this is not what I'm planning to preach, you know. But I'm going to share a little bit simply because I've run into these spirits. And they told me they came from the bottomless pit. And I thought, we really need to know about them. It's just a few of them that I want to talk about. And that we'll start binding them. We pray and bind principalities and powers and rulers of darkness in the heavenlies. And I was sharing with somebody just last night, I believe it was, that I had run into spirits that told me they were from the pit. In Revelation chapter 9, Scripture says, and the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. And, you know, over in Luke's Gospel in chapter 10, verse 17, Jesus said he saw Satan fall as from heaven. And so, and then Jesus tells us in the first part of Revelation that the stars were angels, did he not? He said the seven stars or the seven angels of the church, and we know. But going into this right here, I'm not going to read it all, but the Scripture tells us that this star fell from heaven, and to him was given the key to the bottomless pit. And as you begin to read, it says, and he opened the bottomless pit, and there rose a smoke out of the pit, and as the smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and unto them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power. And it was commanded that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither the tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their forehead. And Brother Glenn taught us about the forehead seal the other day. But I'm saying reading all this to say this to you. The smoke that came up out of that pit when these forces came forth was demonic forces when the bottomless pit was opened. You know, we expected, we've been taught this is going to happen during the tribulation. But I want to tell you something. I'm running into some of these spirits. In verse 11, it said, and as I was thinking on this tonight, the Lord spoke to me and he said, I've already told you that this Apollyon came from the bottomless pit. Here it says in verse 11 in Revelation 9, that they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is most people speak this as Abaddon, and I call it, I don't want to give him any, exalt him any, so I call him Abaddon. And I've talked to the demon, and it says in the Greek tongue, his has his name Apollyon. And there are two of them. There is a Abaddon and Apollyon. And what did it say? They were the king over the bottomless pit. And we're treating them like, a lot of times when we're doing deliverance, unless you run into some that I've run into, like an ordinary demon. And they are. They have to bow to the name of Jesus and the authority of the word. But what I want you to know tonight, that's destruction and destroying angels that are sent forth to destroy. And we need to bind those things because they are destroying people. I have met Apollyon, and he said to me, I'm the great Apollyon. So I've shared this before, so I won't go into it. But I did not know, I did not connect it that he came from the bottomless pit. Did you? You didn't tell me. But I want you to know that we are fighting spirits that come from the pit. I've told you the other night about the hunter souls. Well, I don't think I went into on to tell you. I may have that thing comes up out of the ground. I didn't tell that. He comes up out of the ground. So how do you know? Well, he told me so. And when he comes around, he smells like fresh earth. Always. Anytime I've ever... I'm telling you about this not to frighten you, but to tell you to start binding them. You've got authority to bind. And we've been binding the principalities and powers in heavens. We need to do that. But we also need to bind the spirits from the bottomless pit. Also, the beasts. And I ran into these things, and there was four of them, and one is more fierce than the others. And this last one that I was throwing out asked me, how did you know we were here? Said, you're not supposed to know this yet. And we threw him out. The Lord told me he was there. And I had been studying the book of Revelation, and after we threw the beast out of this individual, in fact, as I said, there were four of them, I went back. I always go back into the scripture to dig up to get the scripture for it. Where is it? It's in Revelation, 13, 15, where it talks about the beast. Well, they will tell you if you make them talk where they came from. See, I was binding their power, cutting off the power from the heavenlies so they couldn't get strength when I would go to throw them out. And they would tell me, they told me that wasn't where they came from. So I began to ask the Father to seal that pit. I tell you, I was telling someone today, I pray, and when I'm praying, whatever the Lord drops in my spirit, I do. And then eventually he gives me scripture for it. Well, there is a bottomless pit in each one of us, so we can seal that pit. That's true. It's true. It's there. It's in with you and I. That's where these things are coming from. But they're coming up out of the ground also. This is the main thing I'm talking about. When you're going to do deliverance, y'all look at me like I really did fall out from under a rock. But I tell you, I'm telling you what I run into in deliverance. And I know that we have authority over them. And I'm telling you, we need to start binding those things and to cut off their power from the ground and the heavens so they can't work. That's we need to fast and pray and intercede. And we also need to bind and loose. Leviathan, huh? Okay. He told me to do it. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come now in the authority you've given us. We're received in Christ Jesus in the third heaven, far above principalities and powers and rulers of darkness. Jesus said, I give you power over authority, over all the power of the devil. So in the name of Jesus, I ask you, Father, to send angels around this place. And we cut off the power from the heavenlies. I bind the powers from the bottomless pit and ask you to seal the ground so nothing can come into the church from the ground or over the church from the heavenlies in the name of Jesus. Lord, I thank you for the authority that's in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that every knee has to bow to that authority. And Lord, I thank you for revealing to us. And Father, give us ears to hear tonight and put within us the desire to do this spiritual warfare in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we just thank you now for the authority given to us. We bind thrones, we bind principalities and powers and rulers and thrones and dominions in the heavenlies. We bind all the forces from the pit. We ask you, Father, to just station angels around us now in Jesus' name. And I bind any fear that anyone tries to get into in the name of Jesus. And ask you, Father, to just let faith rise within them and let them get mad at the devil and start fighting him in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. It's easy for you to say. You're not sitting here looking at everybody staring at me like I fell out from out of the tree. Praise the Lord. Also, Leviathan is another one of those spirits. Over in Job, it talks about Leviathan. And I'll be honest with you, I don't know where he came from, so I'm sure he came from the pit. I really sometimes think he's Satan himself. He has seven heads, and I know that we're not supposed to know anything about him, not other than what the scripture says. We're not supposed to know he's a demon and you can cast him out, according to the demons. And that he wraps around the person's spine, and he's pride. He gets up here in this part of your neck. And that's what keeps a lot of it, what keeps you from getting deliverance, because of that pride of Leviathan. That's another one that we run into. That's another one that needs to be bound. I can't remember a lot of them, but I'll tell you another one is Python, that's spoken of over in Acts, which is a spirit of divination. It's witchcraft. And he's a serpent. And we really need to bind witchcraft. We need to bind the serpent. We need to take authority over all those forces. Comes out of the earth. Well, there's so many. It's what we're fighting today. All the ones that are coming up out of the bottomless pit, and we need to read the word. We need to know our authority. We need to know how to fight them, and we need to tear down bind as many of them as we can. You see, when you cast them out, they need to be bound when they're cast out, and then sent to. I always ask the Father to send them to the pit. And seal them in there to the day of judgment. And the way I learned about getting rid of them, excuse me, was a man came to our church one time, and he asked me, he said, "Mildred, what in the name of heaven are you all doing?" And I said, "I don't know, just what the Lord called us to do." He said, "I've never seen so many bound demons in all my life." He said, "Over your church and all around you, you're just loaded with demons." I said, "Well, aren't you supposed to bind them?" He said, "Yeah, but you sure ought to get rid of them. You don't want them hanging around after you bind them." He was seeing in the spirit, and he saw those things all over our church. So I said, "Father, what are we to do with them?" And I know that they asked Jesus to send them to the dry places, or he'd send them to dry places, and they wanted to go in the hogs, and the hogs didn't want them, and people sit around with them, but the hogs didn't want them. But anyway, I asked the Father about it, and he said, "Send them to the pit." And I said, "Well, Lord, everybody tells me I can't do that." And he said, "You couldn't until after Jesus went to the cross." But see, that's what those demons said to Jesus. "It's not time yet." And I said, "Well, okay, everybody tells me I can't do it, but you told me to do it, so I'll do it." So I sent them to the pit. I just say, "Father, send angels in with chains." And especially when we throw out something big, which they send angels in the chains and bind those things. And I've had demons scream at me and say, "Get them blankety blank angels out of here. They're not putting chains on me." I didn't see them, but the demons did. And we send them to the pit. And then the next one would come up, you know, you go to work on somebody and they'd say, "You're not sending me there." I said, "Where?" He said, "You're not sending me to the pit." I always told them hide and watch, because if I could send one there, I knew I could send two. We began to send them there, and I had one demon tell me one time, he said, "You're not sending me to where you've been sending those others." And I said, "Oh, yeah, we're going to do it." I said, "Don't you see the angels are right here waiting on you?" He said, "There's a portion of that pit's got your church name on it. For all the ones you send, you're not sending me there." Oh, I just loved it. You say you don't listen to demons. Listen, sometimes you get encouragement from them, especially when you're tormenting them. And so I praise the Lord. But I just wanted to be obedient to the Lord. He told me that I need to share some of this with you. I don't know if you're interested. I'm very interested, because I'm fighting warfare. If you're interested in doing deliverance, you need to know about it. You need to know to bind those things. You need to know bind the when I go to pray for an individual, I ask the Father to seal my house so nothing can come in to give aid to it. Because they will drop in from the heavenlies to give them aid, or they will come up from the ground and give them aid. And you need to seal the ground, because I've had this happen to me. I learned the hard way. We'd almost have one out of someone, and then it would get aid, and I thought, "Well, we sealed everything." And that thing would laugh in my face and said, "You forgot the ground. And you got aid." So I'm telling you something to help you if you're interested in doing deliverance.
They'll fight for their own life if they don't care.
You sure will. He said you'd be fighting for your life if you didn't learn how to bind these things and how to cut off the power of them. You see, we don't want to do deliverance. I had just got to the place I didn't want to do it. And I asked the Father to forgive me because it's so easy to sit back and let somebody else do it. And it's so easy to just go along and say, well, you know, they can get them out by themselves. They don't need me. You know, there's so many people backed away from deliverance. And I can't help but be faithful to what God called me to do. I didn't ask Him to give me deliverance. I said, Lord, you know, Jim wanted a healing ministry, so I had to go with him. So I thought, well, just give me one too. We'll just walk together. And I asked the Lord one time why He didn't give me a healing ministry. He said, I did. He said, I did. He did. He said, you asked for it. He said, I'm not pull it off.
Once, some years ago, when I first got in deliverance, I had a little spirit-filled nun that I used to pray for my patients with. I used to go over and that she could play holes in heaven. And I'd go by and see her every day, and when we'd pray for the patients, anybody had was very sick, I'd go by and see Sister Mary, and she'd gotten saved and filled with the Holy Ghost. And she'd been a maid at this college, and she'd been a maid for all the nuns who were professors. And God had filled her with the Holy Ghost, and that lady could play holes in heaven. And one day I got a note. She said, my sister, my real sister who's a nun, is sick up on the third floor. Would you come by and pray for her? And God wouldn't let me go up there. I got as far as the elevator. And this went on for 4 days. At the end of the fourth day, I finally got this note that said, are you coming? And so I got on the elevator, rode up to the fourth floor, went down. And they were in there with, they had the smoker in there, and they had their candles and the priest, and they were given the final unction. They were anointing with oil and given the final send-off. And so I just stood there with Sister Mary was on the other side of the thing, and I stood there until they got through praying. And so I remember that I took Sister Mary's hand, and I reached out to touch this sister. She was in the oxygen tent. My hand got this far from hers, and electricity jumped off of my hand, hit it, and I reached out and grabbed them and began praying in tongues. And that's all I did. I just prayed in tongues. And she began to cough and retch and cough, and God healed her.
Mm-hmm.
God healed her. And I went home. And as I walked out of that room, I felt like I was being beaten with a stick, man. I never felt so bad in all my life. I got home, and I ached all over, and I hurt. My head hurt. And so I called Brother Williams, who was my spiritual mentor, on the phone, and I told him what happened, and he laughed. And he said, you want me to tell you what I see, doctor? And God opened my eyes. I said, let me tell you what I see. I see three nuns standing here in the room, and they just looked like three nuns standing over there, and they had these big, long sticks in their hands. And he said, those are nun spirits. He said, they've been tormenting that old nun for years and years. Did you bind those things when you cast them out?
Uh-huh.
I said, no, I just prayed in tongues. He said, doctor, how many times have I told you got to bind the spirits? He said, those things will sit there and torment you until you do. He said, you want me to bind them? I said, no, let me do it. And I just said, in the name of Jesus, I bind you. And they were gone. And God healed me. I've never forgotten that. And I say to you people, bind the spirits. You play for somebody for healing, you better be realized that a demon is what's made them sick. Healing ministry is deliverance.
Amen. It really
it is deliverance. All cancer caused by demons. I had a man sitting right there in that chair, right second row right there. And I had a mass deliverance service, and I bound the spirit of stroke. Now, God had me bind the spirit of stroke, and that man had a paralyzed hand like that. And he came up to me and said, you know, when you bound stroke, he said, I coughed and retched. And he said, you know, everything in my hand came back. He said, I've been healed.
Praise the Lord.
And a demon.
Praise the Lord.
Demon of stroke. But bind them. It's dangerous if you don't. It's dangerous.
The Lord brought a little girl to our house one Sunday talking about binding strokes. She was like 16, and she went to our church, and the services was over. For some reason or other, we didn't minister to her in the church. I didn't even know she was sick. And her mother called and asked us if she could bring her. And I said, well, sure. And she brought her to our house. And we were praying for our son, worked at the hospital. And he was worked in the heart catheterization area. And he came in while we were doing deliverance. He wasn't walking with the Lord and didn't know a thing about deliverance. But we were trying to get all the symptoms off of this girl. Her face was drawn, her arm was drawn, and she was partly paralyzed. And she had the symptoms of a stroke, and so we were going after stroke. And he told us that it was something that's on children that gave us some initials to it. So whatever it was, that's what we called up, and we got her free from it. Through that, he began to learn deliverance. But we learn early that bind them and get rid of them from around you. Don't leave them around you when you bind them. There, as he was talking about the nun spirits that was beating him, we call those tormentors. There's a lot of tormentors that come and torment people. And they'll hit you, they'll put a pain on you in different places, and just to torment you. Then you're not sick and you haven't got the pain in you, but they are attacking you from the outside. And then we've run into others that are protectors, that protect the demon that you're going after, and you'll be calling a spirit off, and the protectors will come out, but and you think you've got the real thing out, and all you've got are the ones that are protecting the ones that you're after. And that thing will submerge and hide until later, and it'll come back. So in deliverance, remember the protectors and the tormentors, because they sure do come to protect and to torment you. I learned a long time ago when what Doc was saying. I'm going to get to my sermon in a minute, because some of y'all...
I'm going to interrupt you, too.
Okay. Praise the Lord, I got it started. We're going to do deliverance tonight.
It appears that way. There was a... girl came down from Chicago one time several years ago to visit us, and her mother had recently died with a stroke. And for some reason, we was up in our mobile home up here, and we were sitting there talking and visiting, and something happened, and we said, well, we'll pray for her. I don't even remember why we was going to pray for her. And so we started to pray for her, and when we did... this side of the... No, it was this side. This arm shriveled up, her leg shriveled up, and the whole side of her face did. And I said, you spirit of stroke, where'd you come from? And, of course, I didn't know anything about familiar spirits or ancestral curses at that time. And he said, I killed her mother, and I'm going to kill her. Mm-hmm. And I said, no, you're not either. And so we bound that thing and cast it out of her, and the minute we did, it come out, or she was just as normal as before. But it just right before her eyes, where this arm all shriveled up, this leg shriveled up, and the whole side of her face. And the thing talked and said, I killed her mother, and I'm going to kill her.
We had a lady that was a nurse that goes to our church, and she was in deliverance, and she worked in a nursing home. And we were doing deliverance on the girl that worked as a nurse. And she, right before our eyes, she began to age. I mean, age. It looked like she had no teeth. Her mouth was shrunk in. And I didn't have any earthly idea what it was at the time, because we were after something else, and this thing appeared. And come to find out, she had been with a lady that died and picked up the aging spirit that the woman had. And this, she was just in her, like, 32, and she looked 75. And we had to throw that thing out of her.
Careful now.
So. Oh, she looked. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, she looked 100 and 100. Well, my husband's 72 too. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Ah, glory, glory, glory. But I want to say one more thing, unless the Lord brings something else to me about it. But a lot of times when we do deliverance, after it's over with, and you I'd go home and you're kind of tired, and I would be lying down, and I usually get under the Word, turn the Word on it, and use it to restore my strength. But I felt like that all the blood was coming out of my legs and out of my body. And God began to show me there's spirits called bloodsuckers. And man, I began to fight those things off of me. They would come as when I was tired and not at my best. You know what I mean? I was exhausted maybe from having worked too long in deliverance. Be careful if you stay in deliverance too long. Don't get in it a real violent, hard deliverance if you're real tired, because you don't protect yourself like you should. So remember the bloodsuckers, man, I'm telling you, I knew that just out of the pores of my skin, I could just feel my blood coming out. And I would tell him, I said, honey, it feels like my blood's been drained from my body. And I would be so tired, I just got tired of, you know. And when I learned about the bloodsuckers, that I began to break their, bind them and cast them away and command them to go and cover myself with the blood of Jesus, that they stopped attacking. So but I do praise the Lord for deliverance. Deliverance is healing. And tonight we're going to have some deliverance. But I wanted to touch on bitterness. And I see I'm going to have to do it in a hurry if we're going to do deliverance. Because I want us to have time to do some deliverance tonight. Bitterness that we let eat at our inside causes so many problems. Turn yours off, Doc. You the doc. You hear me tell me all this. Well, that's okay. You can agree with me. But we have found in deliverance that bitterness can cause arthritis, and it can cause cancer, and lots of physical problems when you ulcers and a lot of things. But just about anything you can think of. So we say, well, I don't have any bitterness. But everybody has it. Sometimes it's hidden deep within us. And I just recently had someone tell me about a mother or somebody died that was just so sweet and kind and Christian and just, you know, never said a bad word about anything, anyone. But they had let all the hurts that... people would hurt them, you know, well, that's okay. But they didn't forgive the person that hurt them, and that bitterness just began to eat the insides of them alive. We had a lady went to our church that knew better, that she died from bone cancer. She died a horrible death. But she was eaten up with bitterness and knew better. Worked in deliverance. Did deliverance. Was a real good deliverance worker. But that bitterness in her went back to her husband was in World War whatever, II. And he mistreated her. And evidently was never able to forgive him. And the bitterness just literally consumed her. But through her death, her whole family just about has turned away from God, because they said God, that she loves so much, did this to her. See, they don't understand. And we need to get rid of any hidden bitterness within us. You know, over in Genesis in the chapter 4, when Cain, we had talked about this, I think several of us have talked about this, but in chapter 4, in verse 1 says, and Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord, and she again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was the keeper of sheep. But Cain was a tiller of the ground, and in process of time it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and his offering. But unto Cain and his offering he had not respect, and Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shall thou not be accepted, and if thou doest not well, spend life at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel and his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him. You see, jealousy, that was jealousy there working also. Cain was jealous of Abel. He was jealous because God had blessed Abel's offering. We get angry at God a lot of times because we see God blessing other people. I had a lady come to me one time that years ago, she had been a full gospel charismatical years, she and her husband, And she came to me and she just chewed me out. She says, I want to know why God always shows you things and doesn't show me. I said, well, I don't know. And she was so angry at me. And so here we see that Cain was angry at Abel, and bitterness would come in through anger, resentment, jealousy. All of this would come forth as we see others being blessed. As we see, I heard someone say it, somebody stand up like me, sharing with people, and, well, I can do better than that. I don't know why that woman's up there, why I can't do it. We wouldn't voice that, but maybe inside of us some of these thoughts would be coming, and we let the thoughts linger, and the next thing we know, we get angry, and then the bitterness will come if we're not careful. And so Genesis 31, we can see some more of this jealousy and bitterness, how people get bitter and let things get a hold of them. You see, Irma said it, I believe, in the ministry. I don't remember the message she gave, where I heard it, that the little foxes spoil the vine. These little things that we think, well, you know, somebody said something to me, but they didn't really mean it like that. But yet I took it the wrong way. And that little bit of, tiny bit of bitterness, anger, whatever might come in, we don't get rid of it. And God wants us to get, we've been talking about speaking the word and being not being negative. And we've had good teaching twice today on the word and confessing positive things. We can stand up and confess it all we want to with our mouths, but if we don't get it cleaned up down here, it's not going to do us one bit of good to confess it unless it's coming from right down here. And if those little nagging things are down there and we let them stay and this bitterness begins to build up, it builds up and it gets bigger. See, the problem with not getting rid of the demons, when they come in, they gain strength. They grow. They will be, bitterness could become your strong man in you. See, unforgiveness can become a strong man in you if you don't get rid of the thing. Whatever that you're feeding, if that thing is still in you, see, if you get it out the minute it comes in, or as soon as you know it's there, say, you got to go. You're not staying in me. I forgive them and I love them and you're not staying in me. Well, then you get rid of it. But if you let that thing stay in there and let it fester and let it fester, it will gain strength and it will make you so bitter and so unforgiving and so miserable that it'll even show in your countenance. Haven't you seen people that look so bitter in their face, hard? We had a lady come to our church. In fact, she's still in our church. But I saw her years ago in Memphis. She was playing the piano at one of the largest Assembly of God churches in Memphis. And first thing, she played the piano beautifully. She played the music, played piano beautifully. I said, oops. I hope nobody in my church gets this tape. But first thing I saw about her was that she had the hardest face. She looked so hard. And I said to Jim, I said, that lady is so full of bitterness. And I didn't know a thing about her, but I could see it. I could just see that spirit of bitterness on her. And when she came to our church, she told me she was having arthritis in her hands, and she teaches piano. And I told her, I said, you've got to get rid of that bitterness in you and the unforgiveness. And she began to tell me, you know, about how long, how it got in and how long it'd been there. But it will be eventually, of the things that we leave within us begin to show up in our face. And I'll tell you something, ladies, it can make you look old. That's why I say I want all the deliverance I can get. Men that do the same thing to you. Makes you look old, it makes you look hard. You get those things out, all that old bitterness and unforgiveness. Why, I don't have any unforgiveness. I don't have any bitterness in me. Oh, you're reeking of it. I could put my hands on several real great big spirits right now. And whoo, I'm telling you. And we sit back and think, well, we're just okay. And they're just getting stronger and stronger. And listen, they take over eventually if you don't get rid of them. I don't care. Brother George was one, was it he that, or somebody said something about, why does the piano player run off with the preacher? We got this great big preacher up there. He's man of God, but he don't ever get in deliverance. And we got the piano player that never gets in deliverance. I looked at Phil, and that's the reason I lied. Y'all forgive me. But you see, these spirits are there, and if you don't get rid of them, you don't know what they'll do. And yet we walk around like we don't need the deliverance, and God's telling us to clean up, get rid of the spots and the blemishes. In Genesis, in the 31st chapter, verse 1, said, and he heard the words of Laban's son, saying, Jacob has taken away all that was our father's, and of that which was our father's has he gotten all this glory. And Jacob beheld the countenance of Laban. See, I said it showed up in your countenance. And behold, it was not toward him as before. And the Lord said unto Jacob, return into the land of thy kindred and to thy father, and I will be with thee. And Jacob sent and called Rachel and Leah to the field unto his flock. And he said unto them, I see your father's countenance there that is not toward me as before, but the God of my fathers has been with me. So it will show up, as I said, that these spirits show up in your face. Let me tell you, you can't hide anything. God sees it all. He knows it all. And we think we're just going along and everybody thinks we're just perfect, and they're looking at us and said, man, you know, they read us like a book. And what we need to do is get rid of all this junk and then get filled up with God. And then those that go tell us that we've got some, you know, that we need deliverance, they can look at us and they can need deliverance and see that they need it. I want to see this. I want to see God's people get free. And I believe tonight that every one of you that are here tonight wants to be free from anything that's not of God. And don't ever get to the place to think, I mean, even after you get free, think you're free of everything that's there. Don't think you just be above deliverance. Don't ever. That's the biggest mistake you can ever make. To say, well, I had deliverance. God delivered me. My poor son did that. Bless his heart. Whew, he's going to get some more. But I see people do this. They get deliverance and they get, you know, really, everything's feeling good and they're doing real good. And that's fine. And they go on. But don't just continually go on without getting some deliverance. Okay, now I'm being nosy again. Let's go over to 1 John chapter 3. And let's look I want you to look at the scripture there. Going, it really ties in with over in Genesis 4, where Cain slew his brother. First John chapter 3, in verse 14. We know that we have passed from life from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. If there's any little bit of hate within us, we're abiding. What do you say? We're a murderer, and we need to get it out. A little bit of hate can open the door for more and more to come in. God wants us to love. We walk around and say, oh, I just love you. And if anybody tells me they love me too much, I begin to get concerned because I say, what do they really think about me? You know what I mean? Because if you love me, you're going to show it to me by the way you treat me. And you really don't have to tell me. Oh, my husband tells me he loves me, but you know how I don't, and I appreciate him telling me, but you know how I know he loves me? It's the way he treats me. He could eat me up around you all, you know, just be sweet. I'd kill him when I got home with him. If he was mean when we got home. You see, this, really, you've seen people that just put on a front. Yes. And then when they go home, they're ugly. That needs to come out. One day that thing that they take home with them is going to come forth and it's going to come out and take them over. Right. And they may murder somebody. And this is what the Word is telling us. That if we... He said... We know that we have passed from death into life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. See, you got to love me. If you don't love me, you're abiding in death. You got to love one another. We got to love one another. Or there's death abiding, living in us. And whosoever hates his brother is a murderer. Cain murdered his brother. Okay, let's go on. Over in Let me see where I want to go. Let's go.
You're doing that, let me say something.
Oh, okay. Praise the Lord.
Everybody else has interrupted my wife.
That's
I'm
okay.
I'm going to interrupt my wife tonight, too. We've had several good messages, a couple of them just recently on the Word, what the Word does for us in life, how the Word really makes us a different person. And that's true. Without it, we would be horrible. We'd be terrible people. But I want to tell you something. Within every one of you here tonight, you have the potential for being a murderer, a drunkard, the worst person that you can possibly think of if you do not get deliverance. Simply because that one little demon that will hold on will gain enough strength over a period of time to bring in enough stuff that he will take over. That's why the preacher ran off and married or took the piano player. You see, I explain it this way. I call out a spirit of homosexuality, and I call it out of Doc. Doc says, I don't have any of that. I'm not a homosexual. What do you mean calling that thing off of me? But I didn't say he was a homosexual. I called a spirit out, and that spirit was down there dormant. And he was gaining strength all the time. And, of course, I'm not talking about Doc. You all know that. But I'm talking about a person. This is how the spirit works. And he is dormant, and every time we sin and open a door, something comes in and he gains strength until he has enough behind him to take over. It's like an army. It works just like an army. You mean, look, I've got an army in me? I wish that's all you had. You see, those things multiply. You just continually receive them. And when they gain enough strength, they will take over, and that person will become a homosexual. That's exactly how it works. You're not what we say. We're talking to spirit when we get in mass delivery. George knows that. Glenn knows that. Doc knows that. Every one of us know that. We don't always explain all these things of how we do it and how we're working, but that's what we're after, is those spirits down in there, not the how you are acting and what's been manifested on you. And we don't need to go after the manifestation all the time. We need to go after the root cause.
Amen. Come on. Amen.
I think part of what I'm trying to get across to tonight is that we can come in and we can walk with the Lord and we go on with the Lord, but every once in a while that thing that's deep down within us will raise its head up, and it takes over and it spoils everything that we have done, every place we have walked, all the love we've given, until we get those things out of us. When we get the strong, it's a strong man, is what I'm really talking about. That thing that's in control of everything within us, that he will raise his ugly head, and it is a beast. It's a beast. I believe that if we would get the beast out of us, that thing, that strong man out of us, that every one of us would make a difference. Well, what do you mean? I got a beast in me? Yeah, and it'll come up. It'll just let you get mad enough or something bother you bad enough. It will come up. And sometimes let me say this. When you've sat through mass deliverance and you haven't got any deliverance, I mean, you've held on, you sit there and held on to the sides of the chair to keep from letting anybody know you've got a demon, and everything in you is beginning to stir, but you don't get rid of it, and you walk out of here, and you're going to get mad when you get outside. When you go into your house, you're liable to get angry, and you don't quit your angry bat. You know how I know? It's happened to me. I get into deliverance, and I don't know what was stirring. I thought, why am I mad? Why am I angry? What in the world is working? And we need to get rid of these things. In Hebrews, getting back to the bitterness, because we need to get this bitterness out also. In Hebrews 12, verse 15 says, looking diligent, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. You see, we've been going after the branches of the tree and leaving the root. We've been getting rid of the butterflies, what we call butterflies, that will leave when you say boo, and leaving the main things in there. We need to go after the root of the thing. We need to go after the real problem. That root of the tree needs to come out instead of cutting the tops off. I always use the illustration that I do my own yard. I cut my grass. We got a big yard, and it gets bigger every year. Every time I have to cut it, it seems to get bigger, and I have a riding lawnmower. And I get on my riding lawnmower, and I kind of peel my grass. In fact, Jim says I've killed all the grass. He had to replant it. But anyways, in a few days, it grows right back up, and I have to cut it again. And that's what we've been doing with deliverance. We've been getting the surface stuff off, and we think we're free. Let's go down and get the root. Let's look at it and say, I know it's there. I've seen it working in me, and I want it out. And let's don't cover it up. I want you to start doing deliverance when you leave here on people around about you. Did you know that if you'll start doing deliverance and ministering to people, one of the ladies told me the other day, well, she didn't know if she could do it or not. And I said, sure you can. Where you learn to do deliverance is go do it. You don't have to come here and get doctor to do it for you. You can come here and say, I'm free now. I'm ready to work on somebody else. Amen. But come and help get other people free. Amen. But start doing it. Start ministering home. If you'll start doing deliverance in your house and let people know you do it, get you somebody to help you. Don't do it by yourself. People be knocking your door down. They like private sessions of deliverance. We have a lot of private sessions right in the middle of our church. Over in, when they call me and ask me if they can come, I say, yeah, come church. We got front row, and we just do deliverance on the front row or the back row or wherever you happen to be. Over in Hebrews, in the third chapter of Hebrews in verse 12, it says, take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God, but exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. We need to take heed that there not be an evil heart of unbelief. Let me tell you, I work on unbelief in me more than anything else. Because when you're in deliverance, the enemy will work on you. Listen, I've had a horrible day today here. The enemy must have known before I did that I was going to share tonight, because I have been under attack since morning. And they try to put doubt in your mind and unbelief. They come against your mind with unbelief and doubt. And we need to get rid of unbelief. Take a shower of the morning. Start calling unbelief and doubt and anger or whatever that works on you. When you're in your shower, start take a spiritual bath. After you get through praising the Lord and get the Spirit of the Lord moving within you, you get up, you know, praising the Lord and thanking the Lord for all that He's done for us and who He is and the Holy Spirit and Jesus. And name all three of them and worship them and then get into your shower and say, Lord, now I need a spiritual bath while I'm cleaning the outside. You clean the inside. And start calling the things off. Get rid of them. Jim just gave me a note and he said, remind you that you pick up spirits at funeral homes, hospitals, and nursing homes, and another place they really hang around is filling stations. I don't know why, other than they really do. But when you go into a hospital to visit a sick friend or somebody, you need to cover yourself with the blood of Jesus. Because see, when someone dies in the hospital, guess where the demons go? They stay there and wait for somebody to open the door and let them come in. So when you go in, you really need to, you know, be prepared to. Well, maybe they don't do you like they do me, but what I hate hospitals, and I don't go if I can help it. Let's go to Exodus 15 while I was talking. But when I walk in the hospitals, the forces in there are terrible. When you go in there, all those spirits are there. And in a nursing home, you walk in a nursing home and you can hear them, you can see them, yes, and they're everywhere. Yes, yes. So when you go in, I'm telling you how to protect yourself and how to go in and to do spiritual warfare, how to help people. If you go into a nursing home, bind spirits before you go. Yes. Bind spirits up, bind the strong man over the nursing home. Bind I wanted to come over here, and I left my notes that I dug up on, and I was going to teach, I wanted to teach on territorial demons. Yes, yes, prisons, but they are in a nursing home or in a hospital where people die, they're real bad. Over in Exodus, in the 15th chapter of Exodus, we see in verse 23, when Moses was leading the Israelites out of Egypt, God was leading them, and he led them to Marah, where the waters were bitter. In verse 23, it said, they came to Marah, they could not drink of the water of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore, the name of it was called Marah. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, what shall we drink? And he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, which when he had cast it into the waters were made sweet. And there he made for them a statute and an ordinance, and there he proved them. And he said, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. Isn't it interesting that he said he brought them to the bitter water, and then he said he told them to put the tree in, and you know the tree represents the cross. And of course, I could, if you look at it spiritually, there's a lot of things there, but I want you to just look at it in the natural to show you that God said, if you get rid of your bitterness, he said, I won't put any of these diseases upon you. It was so plain to me as I was reading this, God was saying, get rid of your bitterness so you can get healed. Bitterness. The gall of bitterness. The scripture says the gall of bitterness. It leaves a bitter taste in your mouth. And we need to recognize it and to get free from it, because it opens the door for so much. Especially does it open the door for sickness and death. Isaiah 53. Verse 1 says, who has believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up, talking about Jesus, for he shall grow up as a root out of, for he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of the dry ground. He has no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrow and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, and he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. He took everything upon the cross. We have no rights to hold on to anything, because he took care of it upon the cross. He was wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities. He took our bitterness. Over in Exodus, where I just read that, when God told Moses to put the tree in the water. Water represents the Spirit of God, and it also, in the New Testament, the seas represents people. And he said, take the bitterness to the cross. Lord, I resent this. I'm sorry I was bitter against my mother or my father or my sister or my brother or my husband or my wife. Forgive me. And we need to be, as I was sharing with you on bitterness, if you've probably saying, well, I probably don't have any in me, but if you don't, just say this. Say, Lord, if there be any bitterness in me, I want you to show it to me. And I want to apply the blood there. I want you to forgive me for being bitter against anyone. Forgive me for being resentful against anyone. Forgive me for the little hurts that I've let come in. Praise the Lord. You see, if we don't get rid of it, if we don't take it to the cross, then when we start into deliverance, if we don't forgive, but unforgiveness will block deliverance. And a lot of us hold on to unforgiveness and say, well, I've had people tell me this. You don't know what that so-and-so did to me. You don't know what my mother did to me. I had a little girl tell me one time she hated her mother. And I said, no, you don't hate your mother. Yes, I do. I said, no, you don't hate her. You just think you do. I said, there's a spirit in you of hate, and you need to get it out. She said, you don't know what my mother did to me. She said, she mistreated me. And I said, well, my Bible says that you have to forgive her. She says, I can't. And when you say I can, it says, you're saying I won't. because forgiveness is an act of your will. You will forgive or you won't. And it doesn't matter whether you feel like we don't go by feelings. We do it by an act of our will. I will and you don't say, I'll forgive the old goat. You say, I'll forgive them, Father, in the name of Jesus, and I ask you to forgive me for having unforgiveness against them. And then you say, Lord, bless them. Shower your blessings upon them in Jesus' name. I forgive. You see, when you don't forgive, I got a coach over here. I appreciate him because helps me with things. But when you don't forgive, you're bound to the person you're not forgiving. You also bind the person you don't forgive. And then you bind God. So God can't work. God cannot work in your life or their life as long as you're holding unforgiveness against the person. And we say, well, I'm not going to forgive them. You don't know what they did to me. You know, it doesn't matter what they did. And when you forgive them, it doesn't mean that what they did was right, that you're saying what they did was right. This is what people get so confused about. I can't forgive them, they say, because of what they did. Well, it doesn't matter what they did. Jesus Christ forgave us everything. Did he not forgive us everything? So therefore, we have to forgive everything. And when we forgive them, we don't say, now, Lord, I forgive them, but you just take a stick and hit them real hard and make them repent. What you do is you say, Lord, I forgive them, and I'm putting them in your hands. And you know what? If they're not saved, the greatest blessing God can give them that they can receive would be salvation, wouldn't it? And if our unforgiveness is stopping them from being able to receive Jesus, think of the blood that's on our hands.
Forgiveness doesn't make them right.
Forgiving them does not make them right. But it
doesn't mean they were right.
But the thing that we do is we just will destroy ourselves. We bind ourselves to the very person that we have let all this work on us between the two of them. And we need to free them so God can work in their life. And we need to be free so God can work in us.
Amen.
And forgiveness is the key to receiving everything from the Lord. And we need to ask God to forgive us for holding unforgiveness against an individual. Sometimes we're so full of hurts, the deep hurts, that it's hard to forgive. And when I find people saying, I want to, I really want to, but it just seems like I can't. And I always say, well, then if you can't, by the words of your mouth, ask the Father to forgive through you and release you so you can forgive. That people are so, I find people are so bound with unforgiveness that it's just eating them alive. And they're so miserable. And God wants us to forgive. He said, by the way, if you don't forgive, he'll turn you over to the tormentors. Matthew 18, verse 33 and 34, 34 and 35, said when the rich man owed all that money, and they was going to put him in debtor's prison. You know the story. And his master forgave him all the debt. And then his man owed just a very little small debt. And he wouldn't forgive the man the small debt. And the Lord told him, take him and throw him into prison until turn him over to the tormentors until he pays all that money back. So you see, we've got to forgive. If we don't forgive, God will turn us over to the tormentors. The tormentors will really torment you too. Forgive. As Jesus. I was praying one time, for a lady over the telephone. She said, would you pray with me about something, and I don't remember what it was, and as I was praying, the Lord told me to tell her to forgive. I said, you've got to forgive whoever it was. And she said, well, I'll forgive, but I won't forget. I said, that's not forgiveness. And I said, the Lord brought the scripture to me where the man asked Jesus, says, how many times must I forgive my brother when he sins against me? And God, what did he say? And I told her, I said, you know what that means? That's one day. In one day, that's 490 times a day. If someone sins against us, we must forgive. And we need to keep short accounts so it doesn't give us unforgiveness the opportunity to grow. Okay. Oh, me. Well, probably said enough. I had a few more scriptures, but remember this. Brother Doc spoke on it this afternoon, Ephesians 6. We're not fighting people. We're fighting spirits. We're not fighting flesh and blood, but we're fighting demonic forces. So if you can recognize when somebody says something to you that maybe hurts you, if you can recognize that it's not the person, if you can remember that it's forces in them and that it's not the person, it'll make it a lot easier for you to work with this. We are not fighting flesh and blood, but we're fighting principalities and powers and rulers of darkness. We are fighting every demon in the pit. Everything in the world has been loosed upon us. And to see that we will fall. And we're not going to fall. And we're not going to fail. We're going on. Amen. We're going on to the... we're going to get our soul back, as I shared the other night on the soul ties. I was ministering the other day, somebody yesterday, and I was in the back of the church as they were calling out demons. And the Lord spoke to me and said, go somewhere. He sent me to someone and said, call out a false soul in them. And I called the false soul out. He said, well, give me scripture for it. I don't have scripture for it tonight. I just know the Lord said, call a false soul out. And I began to call it out. But that was, and I remember that I've done it before, in the person when that I told you that didn't have their soul, all their soul, that we had to call the soul back to get her saved. And the Lord spoke to me. I had forgotten about it. See, I let a lot of things slip. But I called the false soul out of that person because the enemy had built a false soul in her so he could totally control her. Doc talked about it. The two kingdoms. Was it you that talked about the two kingdoms? Somebody did today. That in man's seed, there's the kingdom of the devil and in God's kingdom. Well, in God's kingdom is the kingdom that God's building in us that is warring against that other kingdom. So the enemy, if he can get control of the mind, will, and emotion and put a false soul in there, he can control you. I don't know. Look up the scriptures. Find it and give it to me. It's there somewhere. As I know the Lord gave me that one on the two double-minded men. I ran into a spirit of Pyrox in a girl, and he was a ruler over 16 personalities. And Pyrox. And as I was calling the thing out, the souls out, the personalities out of her, I said, Lord, I don't understand this. I never heard of it before. And so he sent me over in James where he talked about the double-minded man. He said if a person can have a double mind, they can have more than two minds. And so those spirits were in there through soul ties. Every one of them were in there through soul ties. And then we got the strong man in her was Pyrox. And we got that strong man out of her. And I'm going to stop. I've said enough. I'm not near through, but anyways, we just kind of wandered around tonight over a lot of stuff. But I want to say this. I believe in everyone there were seven strong men. Jesus cast seven spirits out of Mary Magdalene. Mary Magdalene. And I always wondered why he gave us the number seven. I said, Lord, why did you cast seven out? Why just cast the demons out, you know, like he did the Gadarene demonic, which said he had a legion. And so the more I have dug into the word on it, I really wonder if there's not seven strong men. And if we get the seven strong men out, we would totally get someone free. I don't know. I'm telling y'all what I think. And I do know the scripture says that Jesus cast seven demons out of Mary. Why seven? Dig in your Bible and find out. Let me know. I'm open. I like for people to tell me. I'm really digging on the soul because I think the soul has much, much to do with deliverance and getting us free and getting us walking in the kingdom the way God wants us to walk as overcomers. Amen? Well, praise the Lord. Well, we're going to do some deliverance if it's okay. Brother Glenn, is that okay?
Well, sure, that's what you're here for.
Amen. Well, we're going to do it. Jim's going to call out the spirit. And if you want deliverance, put your feet flat on the floor, uncross your legs, uncross your arms, and breathe in and breathe out, okay? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Okay, go ahead and start binding up. Bind strong men. praise the Lord.
In the name of the Lord Jesus, I bind every spirit that's in this place. In the name of Jesus, I call for angels to come and cleanse it, to take out anything that's come in that is free and moving about and not in a person. In the name of Jesus, to remove all of it and then seal our building, Father, that nothing shall come in. Seal the ground beneath us, the air above us, the sides around us, in the name of the Lord Jesus. Nothing shall harass. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. My Father, I thank you for deliverance even before we start, for we know that it's real, and we thank you for it. In Jesus' name. Amen. Say with me, Heavenly Father, I believe your word, and I come tonight, and I ask you, Lord, to reveal in me if there is any unforgiveness.
If there is any unforgiveness.
And I ask you to do it now.
I ask you to do it now.
Father, I agree to forgive everything that has been revealed to me. Any unforgiveness that I hold. And I ask you, Father, to set me free. Tonight, in Jesus' name, amen. As you know, that stops stops deliverance quicker than anything. Let's go after that spirit of bitterness. In the name of the Lord Jesus, spirit of bitterness, I command you to loose this people. In the name of Jesus, all that hidden bitterness, that deep bitterness, I come against that root of bitterness in the name of the Lord Jesus. I command that bitterness to manifest itself. Come out now. Now, in Jesus' name. Come out, demon. You have no place here. In the name of Jesus, Jesus, the Most High God, commands you, loose this people. All that bitterness, unforgiveness, in the name of the Lord Jesus, I command you to come out now in Jesus' name. All the bitterness. I command resentment in the name of the Lord Jesus. Hatred. Loose them and let them go. Loose them and let them go. All the unforgiveness, you have to go. Come out in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Violence. I call violence out. In Jesus' name, all the violence, in the name of the Lord Jesus, in the name of the Lord Jesus, loose them and come out. Temper, in the name of the Lord Jesus, come out. That's fits of temper, loose them and let them go. Anger, let them go, come out, in Jesus' name, retaliation, come out. The Lord rebuke you. The Lord Jesus Christ rebuke you. Come out. I call out murder, that spirit of murder, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, the Lord rebuke you. Come out of there. Come out of this people. All of the bitterness and hatred and anger and resentment, hatred, retaliation and murder, loose them and let them go. Unforgiveness, you've got to go. You must forgive. You must forgive. And for unforgiveness, I command you to loose this people. Loose them and let them go. Unforgiveness, come out. Come out in Jesus' name. That spirit of unforgiveness, that holds on so tight, in the name of Jesus, I break your hold in the mighty name of Jesus. Loose them and let them go. And the rebellion, I command rebellion. Come out in Jesus' name. All those spirits, in Jesus' name, that self-will, all that self-will, you have to go. You can't stay. And the stubbornness, the disobedience, in the name of the Lord Jesus, come out. Come out in Jesus' name. Disobedience, stubbornness, self-will, come out. Come out in Jesus' name. The Lord rebuke you. Demon, come out in Jesus' name. You have no place here. The Lord rebuke you. The Lord Jesus Christ rebukes you tonight. Come out in Jesus' name. I call strife out. All those spirits of strife in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Loose them. Strife, contention, bickering, argument, quarreling, fighting. Come out in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Loose them and let them go. Loose them. Come out in the name of the Lord Jesus. All of that control that stops it, that spirit of control that will not allow you to hear, that will not allow you to answer, that will not allow you to get rid of a demon. Come out in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Control, dominance, witchcraft. Let them go in the name of the Lord Jesus. The Lord rebuke you. The Lord Jesus Christ rebukes you. Come out. Let them go. Let them go. Retaliation. Spirits of retaliation. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. Destruction. Destruction. You've got to go. That spirit of destruction. That strong man of destruction. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. Apollyon. Apollyon, you have to go. You can't stay. Apollyon, that spirit of destruction, that strong man of destruction. I command you to loose this people in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. They're blood-bought. These are blood-bought people. You can't stay here. You can't stay. These people are purchased by the blood. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Come out. Come out. The Lord rebuke you. The Lord rebuke you. Destruction. Destruction. Spite and hatred. Sadism, hurt, cruelty. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Come on out of that. Come on out. Move, move. In Jesus' name. You're a liar. You can't stay. You have no right to stay. I break your hold by the word of the living God. You cannot stay. The word declares that these signs shall follow them that believe in my name. They shall cast out devils. You have to go. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Rejection. Rejection. All those spirits of rejection. Come out. Come out in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Let them go. Self-rejection. Self-rejection. Come out. Loose them and come out in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. The word's alive and powerful. It's sharper than a two-edged sword. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. You cannot withstand the word of the Most High God. Demon, let them go. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. All that fear of rejection. Fear of rejection. Self-rejection. Come on out. Come on out. Spirits of rejection. Spirits of hurt. Deep hurt. Come out. Come out. In the name of Jesus. Those hurts that have buried deep in the name of the Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus. All the hurts. Hurts in the name of Jesus. The words that brought the hurts. I call out even the words that loose the hurts in Jesus' name. Let them go. Let them go in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, the Lord rebuke you. Small hurts, all the hurts, all types of hurt. Deep hurt, small hurt. Loose them and let them go. Loose them and let them go in the name of Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus, you have to go. That jealousy. Jealousy, spirits of jealousy, come out, come out. The envy, the suspicion, the distrust, in the name of the Lord Jesus. All that selfishness, selfishness, come out in Jesus' name. Suspicion, loose them and let them go. Loose them and let them go in the name of Jesus, in the name of the Lord Jesus. I call out diseases and the spirits bring on you in the name of the Lord Jesus. The high blood pressure, in the name of the Lord Jesus. I call out high blood pressure and low blood pressure. Blood diseases, diabetes. Diabetes, heart attack, stroke. I call plaque in the arteries and the veins. Blocked arteries. Come on out. Come on out. Tumors, growths. I call out cancer. Cancer of the blood, all types of cancer. Cancer of the pancreas, cancer of the liver, cancer of the lung. Skin cancer of the kidney, cancer of the colon, cancer of the prostate. Come out in Jesus' name. I break the hold of cancer. I command you to go in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Arthritis, spirits of arthritis, stiff joints, stiffening of the joints, calcium in the joints. Come out in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Loose them and let them go. Loose them and let them go, in Jesus' name. Stomach ulcers, in the name of the Lord Jesus. Come out in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Loose them and let them go. Loose them and come out. I call out spirit of pride, spirit of pride. Loose them and come out. Pride, you have no place in God's people. In the name of the Lord Jesus, pride, ego, come out in Jesus' name, loose them and come out. Self-reliance, in the name of the Lord Jesus, come out in Jesus' name. I call those hurts again, all those hurts, in the name of the Lord Jesus, those deep hurts, those down in the heart. In the name of the Lord Jesus, let them go. Unbelief, come out in Jesus' name. Spirits of religion, come on out, come out, come out in Jesus' name. Religious, lying spirits, I call lying spirits out in the name of the Lord Jesus. I call unbelief, unbelief and rebellion. Loose them and let them go. In the name of Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus. I call the Antichrist spirit out. The Antichrist spirit out. The other Christ spirit out. The Christ, the one that is against Christ. Both of them. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Loose them and come out. For he's highly exalted. He's given a name above every name, at the name of Jesus. Every knee bows. Every tongue confesses Jesus is Lord. Take a deep breath now. Blow them out. Come on, blow them out. Let them go. Let them go. Don't hold on them. Don't hold on to them. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Lust, come out. Lust. All types of lust. Lust of the flesh. Lust of the eye. The pride of life. All the three types of sin. Come out. Come out. I call the spirit of sin out. In the name of the Lord Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Let them go. Let them go. Come on out. Come on out. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Anger, infirmity, sickness, disease. Come out. Come out. In Jesus' name. Come on out. Come on out. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Come out. Come out. In the name of the Lord Jesus, the Lord rebuke you. Come out. Come out. I call out a spirit of whoredom. I call out fornication. I call out incest, bestiality, adultery. I call off that curse of the bastard in the name of the Lord Jesus. I break the power of that curse over every person in the sound of my voice. It's in the bloodline. I don't care how many generations back. That curse that's come down in the bloodline, the curse of the bastard, I break its power. In the name of the Lord Jesus, I call off alcohol, addiction, all types of addiction. I call off nicotine, addiction to nicotine, smoking. In the name of the Lord Jesus, let them go. Let them go. Come out. Come out. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Call off homosexuality. In the name of Jesus, that spirit of homosexuality. I call a lesbian spirit. In the name of the Lord Jesus. I call a spirit of nakedness. Nakedness. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Call a spirit of compromise. Come compromise in the name of Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Let them go. Let them go. Come out. Come out. In Jesus' name. I call off the strong man of fear. The strong man of fear. The strong man of compromise. The strong man of pride. Pride. In Jesus' name. The strong man of lust. Lust. In Jesus' name. The strong man of deception. Deception. In Jesus' name. And the strong man of depression. Depression. In the mighty name of Jesus, loose them. Loose them and come out. Come out in Jesus' name. Spirit of accidents, come out. Come on out of there. Come out in Jesus' name. Jealousy, envy, suspicion, distrust, selfishness, come out. Come out in Jesus' name. Withdrawal, pouting, daydreaming, fantasy, that spirit of fantasy. I command that spirit of fantasy. Loose them and come out. Pretension, unreality, and escape. Come out. Come out in the name of Jesus. Spirit of alcohol. Spirit of drugs. Spirit of indifference. Listlessness. Depression. Despair. Despondency. Discouragement. Dejection. Defeat. Hopelessness. I call a spirit of suicide. Spirit of suicide. Loose them and let them go. Loose them and let them go in Jesus' name. Suicide. Come out. I call that spirit of death. Spirit of death, premature death. Come out in Jesus' name. I call off insomnia. Insomnia, spirit of insomnia. Come out in Jesus' name. Fear and dread, apprehension. Come out in Jesus' name. Nervousness, nervousness, tension, headaches, nervous habits, restlessness, excitement, insomnia. Roving. I call that roving spirit off. In Jesus' name, a roving spirit. Mental illness. Mental illness. Loose them and come out. Insanity. In the name of the Lord Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Retardation. Senility. Schizophrenia. Paranoia. Hallucinations. I call off stealing. Material lust. Greed. Discontentment. in Jesus' name.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.